really pleases the Lord when we cry out to Him to set a fire down in our soul. Although He consumes us with the Holy Spirit. And we're saying, God, we're not satisfied what we have with You. We want more of You. I mean, how awesome. And He'll pour out Himself onto us.
Amen.
I mean, wow.
Amen.
And I remember dating my wife. I see her on Fridays, and actually I can see her on Saturday. Wow, she's excited because I want to see her twice a week. And then three times a week. Then we got married, and now the excitement is still there 45 years later, you know? And that's what God is with us. If we have a desire for more of Him, then man, God, I don't like where I'm at. I'm glad I'm not where I was. Amen?
Amen.
But Lord, I'm not where I want to be. I want more. I when you cry out to Him, boy, He will. He'll expose Himself to you. He'll come and abide with you more and more. That fire of that Holy Spirit will give you more guidance. I believe it'll speak louder to you. The Holy Spirit's already speaking to you, okay? But I think He gets a little bit louder when we start moving towards Him and away from the things of the world. Because the things in the world are real loud in your ear, right? I mean, they're coming from every angle. And it's shutting down that Word of God that He's trying to bring to you, that deliverance and stuff, you know? And so we just need to step back farther from the world and closer to our Lord. And everything we do should be, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I was thinking, you know, if I ask right now, don't raise any hands, but if I said, hey, who needs healing on their body? Well, who's got pains in their body today? If I'd ask that question, a lot of hands would go up. And the question would be is, okay, but right now, what do you dump your body now? Your body is a vessel for the Lord. If you're doing just enough now, I mean, we just want to get home today, and that's how far we want to go. He's giving you energy to go home, right? Amen? Okay. But we step out and say, okay, God, You call me to do this, I'm going to do it with my last breath. Wow, we get more energy. And more energy. You know, we can get in the habit, and I'm just saying health because we've all got aches and pains from time to time. But we get in the habit of saying, boy, I tell you, if I felt better, Lord, I would do this, okay? Or, Lord, if I had more money, I would give, okay? Or if I had more time, Lord, we have all these things, but it's what are we doing with what we have right now? And as we allow God to consume us, boy, He says, okay, you're my vessel. Here, Starkey, Eric, come on, let's walk a little bit better today. Hey, you go another mile today, you know? Some Sundays, all I need is enough gas to get home again, all right? And other Sunday, I need gas to get down to Zanesville and back. We're going down to Genesis, okay? He's always provided. He always gives me what I need. I trust in Him. But, you know, we got to recognize the thing, the Lord. I just want a little demonstration here. I got the serial number marked. Here, Dan. You give me $10. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to ask the Lord. And I'm serious. To give $5 to somebody in the church. Okay? So I want you to think, okay, Lord, who do you want to have $5 today? And let Him show you who to give it to, and go give it to Him, okay? Yeah, I know. I put you on the spot. He had no idea I was going to do this. Okay? But the Lord leading you, okay? And don't give it the mire just because you want a cattle, okay? But yeah. Oh, wow. That's awesome. See, God gave you that money, but you recognize right then that, okay, you're blessed to be a blessing. No, you can't do that. You got to listen to what God told you. I'm God for a second. So I'll give you $10. I'm going to give half of it away. So that's your part, okay? I'm glad you tried to do that. Because God met your need with that $5, okay? The other $5 was abundance. So now if you give that away, you don't have your needs met, okay? So you gave half away what God gave you. So don't be afraid to hang on the other part of it, okay? Because God says, man, I can trust you. You know? You're not just bottling it up. So here. And He wants you to give $5 to somebody. Yeah, let them lead you. Who to give it to? I don't see any hands yet, but wait till the hundreds come out. Okay. Awesome. Let me give somebody $5. See what God is showing us today. He can trust you. Okay? He wants to bless you, but he wants to bless other people, but he needs to use you to get to somebody else. So get someone $5. I'm getting tired of walking back and forth. Now you're marking these down, Carol, who gets these for tithing purposes, okay.
Don't sit down.
Now you do anything you want to with that. Whatever you want to do with that. Okay? Meaning, you've been obedient to the Lord, you gave. Look, if you would have kept the first $10, we've been done. You had $10. Right? And that's fine. But what do you have now? I forget what you have now. But see, you being a pipeline that God flowing through you, okay? There's time in life that God will give you and say, this is just for you, Jeff. Okay, I want you to do this. But God, no. I got them covered. Other times he'll give you stuff and say, okay, I want you, this is for you, but I want you to share part of it. He'll lay it upon your heart. And what happens, you know it. You know when it comes in your hand, whether it's yours, or whether God is using you to be a pipeline. Think of that. Have a seat, brother. That's awesome. And it's the same way God learned he can trust you, okay? And again, I'm not God. I'm just saying this, but he's demonstration. So same way out there that God knows that he can trust you when he brings somebody's name across your mind to pray for them. Think of that. There's a lot of testimony. People say, man, I woke up in the middle of the night and God had this person in my mind. And you pray for him, yes. But God knows that he can count on you. That you can say, my sleep isn't as important as what God called me to do, to pray. Amen? Yeah, just, as God, he uses us to be his hands and feet. Now, I would imagine somebody in here probably today might need that $5, right? I think somebody might go home and ask me, I'll tell you what, I come to church today, I need a gallon of milk, and you know what a crazy preacher did? And look what God did. God laid upon this fellow to give me $5. I mean, it just, $5 to me is a lot of money. Some of it, maybe it's not, maybe you forget what $5 is. Closer to the end of the month, the greater that $5 is, amen? If I would have waited until the first of the month, I would use a dollar bill, you know. But yeah. But it just shows you, man, just those little things, man, can really bring God to glory. We don't want to hang on to those things. Lights up there. Thank you. Well, I'm going to put another light on, too. I'm sorry. You got it? Okay. She doesn't trust me to get behind her head there. She's like, thump. I want to share with you out of the book of Acts this morning. And I'm going to be in Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to start by. I've got a couple of places to be gone today. But what the Lord is sharing with us today is to remind us that that we are in the last days. Okay? Amen? The last days of the church age. and show you the prophecy that speaks about this. And I know when we say that, hey, we're in the last days, they have people have been saying that for a long time. Well, we have been in the last days a long time. But now we're toward the end of it. We've seen the things taking place that the Master showed us that would be taking place before He comes. And remember, when He comes, we're coming back with Him. Understand that. There's not one sign that has to take place to take the church out of here. Okay? None. These signs that we look at is a sign of His return. The Battle of Armageddon part, you know? And He comes back with them. The saints who have been in heaven with them for 7 years, we're coming back. So when we study these things, that's kind of how close it is for us coming. We haven't even left yet. And we'll see what it's going to be like when we come back. So, but in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, Brother Peter is going to speak to us. And he's talking to us right after, we call it Pentecost Sunday, right after the power of the Lord fell. It says in 14, but Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day." It's 9 in the morning, I believe that's what it is in Jewish time. Is it Jewish time? Did I say it right? Jerusalem, okay. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. Now what has happened, the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room, and they have been speaking in tongues. They've been talented, they've been talking in other people's languages, they've been hearing them. They think, man, these guys are drunk. Listen, though, the power just fell upon the sons and the daughter. Okay? We had about 2,000 years, and Noah come along. We had 2,000 years, and Jesus came along. Okay? And here we are, the third 2,000 years. Follow me so far. Okay? You look at the scriptures. God created everything. He did it in 6 days, rested on the seventh. And the scriptures say that a day is like 1,000 years for the Lord. Okay? And 1,000 years is like a day. Applying that thought process to where we're at today, on the seventh day, God rested. So the sixth day is where we're at today. We're getting ready to enter the rest, 1,000 years. And what's the millennium reign? 1,000 years. So we're at the end of these last days of the church. That's why we've never been here before as a church. Okay? Been spoken about for centuries. But we had never been to this point. Put it this way, no one's ever lived this day before, have you? Yeah. Okay, I'm preaching right people then. All right. But in verse 17, this is the prophet Joel, clear back in the Old Testament, spoke of these. He said, "It shall be in the," what days? "The last days." So here it goes. God says that I will pour forth of my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did it say, folks? Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow, praise God. Thank God for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This took place 2,000 years ago at Pentecost. Okay, that's been the power, and it's still here. Amen. But those who cry out to the Lord. I mean, to me, that gives me so much hope for the future of all those you've been praying for. Amen? Amen. How can they cry out to a Lord that they've never heard about? You can't. I didn't hear anybody during praise and worship day cry out to Old Purple Piggy. Did anyone cry out to Old Purple Piggy today? Why not? We never heard about Old Purple Piggy, right? Now, if I said today, now listen, if you cry out to Old Purple Piggy, we're all going to get saucy sandwiches, then you could have cried out Old Purple Piggy, right? You would, Charlie. Help me out here. Follow along with me. Give me a vegetarian, you know. But how could you call out if I never mentioned that? So think about this. Think about those today that you have talked to him about Jesus. You shared your love. Think of those today who see you following Jesus. And the awesome thing is they see the good side of you and sometimes the rough side of you, right? But they see you. And they see you get back up by your bootstraps because of the Lord. And they might still be rejecting this God that we serve, this Christ that we follow. But they're hearing the name of who?
Jesus.
Jesus. And what does this say here? All those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe it can be like this, like we're gone, the church is gone, and they're here and they say, God, I don't understand things, but man, I know my mama. She prays Jesus and she come to you through Christ. I don't understand, but Lord, I call upon your name today. Did he not say all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? That's where that blessed hope. Trusting in God. Knowing that we are living these last days, because right here he says, these are the signs of the last days. I'll pour out my spirit. And those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how can they call upon him if they don't hear about him? Did the Word of God say, you know the truth, and the truth shall set them free? Amen? So as you live with the truth, you share the truth, it sets you free, it keeps setting you free in the mind. We got to keep repeating that truth. Amen? We got to renew our mind. We remember who we are in Christ Jesus. That as we share, as we live for the Lord, as they see you all this morning, some of them saw you come in the church. They saw you instead of going wherever anybody else was going today. They seen you grab your Bible and come in the church. They might not quite understand what you're doing, but they know you're kind of peculiar, a little bit different than the rest of the world. And you're making a statement to them. Now today when you get home, they're going to see you coming home from church. And it's more important what they see in your backyard than what they saw in the driveway when you're leaving. Amen? But they're watching you. What a statement you can make. People say, oh, I just can't witness to people. You'll witness people every time you open your mouth up. Any place you go. When you open your wallet up. You know, whatever you give priority to. Somebody might have went to a movie this past week and you walked out because of the language. People saw that, understand that. Nothing goes unnoticed because we're under the microscope. Remember how Jesus was always under the microscope when he was in Jerusalem? Just trying to wait for him to mess up. And Jesus never messed up. So they had to lie about him. And people doing the same thing, they're watching us under a microscope, waiting for us to mess up. And do they see you mess up? Yes. But they see you turn around? And yes, that's the important part. What kind of God do you serve? That you mess up and he forgives you?
Awesome God.
Amen. Exactly. Amen. Amen. So men of Israel, listen to these words in verse 22. Jesus, a Nazarene, a man, attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst. Just as you are yourselves known, this man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed him to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Rose back up from the grave. This God that you serve raised up from the grave. The power of death has no control over us. We've been set free from that. This is the sign of the last days. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we'll step into 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we got the power of fail. Now he's going to show us, okay, in the times that we're in, the signs of the last days will be taking place. I'm going to read through it and I'll go back for it. But I'm going to start in chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Timothy. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malice gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God. And here's a clincher. Holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And avoid such men as these. Wow. Now, again, he says, but realize that in the last days. So I ask you today, what we just shared there, do you see it happening today? Yes. It says, for men will be lovers of self. All about themselves. It's me. Going back to Dan. Well, thank you, Pastor. Put that money in his pocket. He's got $10 now. But he's talking about other people. And that $10 and probably gone to $25 or $30. I'm not sure how much was there. Second one said, lovers of money. Now, me and Charlie was talking Friday night. Money is a good thing. We use it for commerce, everything. But it's the love of money. I don't have enough money. I want more money. 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 Even today, right now, I hear a lot of people talking about the price of gas. Okay? And here in the ministry, we spend out $80 more in fuel. We're paying $2 more for gas. But you know what? God has called to the mail money from nowhere will show up that covers our gas. Isn't that awesome? See, the God who is giving us money and giving you money for $1.59 a gallon will also give you the money for $3.79 a gallon. Think of that. As we are not lovers of money. Now, if we are lovers of money, then we got problems going on. Because he says, as you give, I'll give back to you. I got you covered, you know. You know, people come, hey, Pastor, I have $20. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Yes, I'll tell you what. Let's just pray. You want to pray? Yes, okay. I'm going to pray that God will return back to you exactly what you gave to him. Oh, wait. I don't want you to pray that way. But see, that's what he says, okay. We hang on to stuff. No, I don't know. And if we love that money, But I don't hear too many people saying, boy, I'll tell you what. Can you believe how they're aborting them babies today? They think about, well, yeah, but I'm saying, in our conversations, it's about money. Oh, they're passing out money we don't have. They're sending out stimulus checks we don't have. And yes, I agree. That's all gone in debt. But our focus is more upon the finances and not about life. They are derailed. Remember, everything that you normally hear on television and the news is all about the material things. Well, the houses are going up, unemployment, up this, up that, everything. And our God said, hey, listen, follow me. I'll meet all your needs. What are you doing? Gas gets $6 a gallon. I'll still be driving. I've got a little scooter in my basement, 101 miles a gallon. You might see me and the missus coming in church on me. Chuck and Marty might be passing us up, you know. Put the coffee on, Chuck, before you get there, okay? Yeah, here's the keys to it, okay? But God will provide a way. We've got to make sure that we don't get wrapped up. But he says, in these days that we're in, that people will be lovers of money, boastful, always bragging. Man, look what I did. I don't mean nothing bad about it, but I won't say much, I guess, but there's so much boastful going on that people do. And I know it's awesome to do things, but man, we have to watch ourselves. It's okay, man. Look what the Lord had me do this week. Look what I did. I didn't know nothing, and I did this. Look what the Lord had us do yesterday. We was in the lake, and I had a drain plug. Praise God for that. You know what I'm saying? But we get to the point that it's me. We're not taking pride in what you do. We should be taking pride of what we do for the Lord. Not prideful, but we got to watch about boasting all the time. You ever get someone and it's always them? You say, hey man, I'll tell you what. Last night, Jason, I made 6 cupcakes. Oh man, Jason, well, that's nothing. I made a cake out of angel food, and then I made homemade ice cream. And then, well, I went out and I got the honey out of this tree. You know what I'm saying? Just always trying to top me, you know? So we have to watch out. But he said that that's going to be some of the people that's taking place. Arrogant. I mean, you can't. They do nothing wrong. They're always right. Don't look at your spouses, okay? But being arrogant in what you do. I always say I have a hard time saying revelers, or EBILERS, which means abusive language. Verbal sin. Slander. Foul language. Now one thing I want to point out here as we go with these guys, that last part of these verses says they have a form of godliness but lack the power thereof. Who has a form of godliness? The church. This stuff's always been in the world, right? He's talking to the church. Language, cussing, God's name in vain. Think of that. And I'm amazed. And I've had folks come through the ministry and they've been on fire for God. They were be here for everything. Everything they could be, they're here, hearing the word of God. And man, awesome. And then fall away. Or doesn't get involved as much, okay? And maybe come every once in a while. And so they're not in the Word. And be talking to me in church and cussing at the same time. Now, I'm not offended by that, okay? Sometimes people catch up. I'm sorry. No. It's God. God is to watch out for this stuff, okay? But it shows me how far they've fallen away. They would never even have that in their thought process if they was concentrating on the Word of God. I know people claim to be followers of Jesus and they take God's name in vain about 5 times in one sentence. I know the Spirit of God isn't there. Because there's no way that I could never even talk against my father, my earthly dad. I've never said one thing bad about him. imagine my Heavenly Father. But he said, this is going to take place, and he's talking about in the church that it should be customary. I'm talking about those who proclaim Christianity, amen? If you're not born again, you're still in the world, hey, I'm glad you're here. Because you need the Lord in your life. But he's saying these are the last days. At the last days, these things will be taking place. Verbal sin, I mean, wow. Abusive language, cussing. Folks, that shouldn't be in us. Okay? Should not be in us. It says, unholy. That there will be sinful, wicked, evil, even satanic. Okay? Now again, these things, as you come to Christ, He removes them. Amen? Now, I knew a preacher one time. He was still struggling a little bit. I wasn't even a preacher yet. It was 35 years ago. And he had a tough night. He actually got drunk. And I went out to talk to him. And boy, by every word, he was cussing pretty good in front of me. Okay? It's a tough time. But he says, I know. He says, I know I shouldn't be doing this. But you ought to heard me when I wasn't, before I got saved. Okay? And I can attest that to a degree. Now, whether she'd been in the pulpit, but the thing of it is that, to me, I'm shocked. This guy's, you know, he's trying to run a church, but using this language. But he says, well, but you should have heard me before. I said, okay, well, at least you can see growth in your life, you know. The Word of God tells me to get the plank out of my eye first before I stand up here and try to help you get the speck out of your eye, okay? But it just shows us, you know, sometimes God's done a great work in your life and others haven't seen that yet. But he's saying in these last days, this is what people will be embracing. And I think it'll be customary. If we're sitting here today and we think, hey, I've done all I'm going to do for God. He's done all He's going to do in me. I've changed enough. Then we have problems, right? But we acknowledge our areas of, man, we're going to grow for the Lord and be a greater witness for Him. Then He's still working with us. Malice gossips. Scandal, always got dirt. Or another word for that is scuttlebutt. Hey, what's a scuttlebutt, man, on Jeff? Huh, Gail? You know what I'm saying? We don't call it gossip, we call it scuttlebutt. You know, we ain't allowed to gossip, but what? Okay? It's intended to do somebody harm, ruin their reputation. You know, and it goes back to what we're going to say. Is it glorifying God or helping lift somebody up? Man, I see Jason Hallmark in church. You know, good thing he's here, guys. Well, let me tell you what he used to be like. Now,
have you been talking to
people? No, I haven't talked to nobody. The Lord showed me. No. But see, when I share that to you, and you know, I mean, okay, what are we going to hear? Is it bringing God glory? Is it helping my brother Jason? No. Now, if Jason wants to stand up and say, man, I'm going to tell you something. This is my past life. Look where God has delivered me from. He can do that. Okay? But we have to watch ourselves. Get around people and say, oh, there goes this person and walks out the door. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you what he used to be like. Hey, when he was a cop, let me tell you some stuff. Okay? Take it to him. You know what I'm saying? It's on you. Yeah. And so again, he's saying, now, watch out. These things will be taking place in the church. Just always talking all the time. Always busybodies, I guess, would be another one. Brutal. That'd be brutal, which means it's barbaric, cruel, is another word for it. Wicked, cold-blooded, inhumane, remorseless. Brutal, barbaric. Barbaric. In our country, and I shared this Friday night, some of you already heard this, But in the University of Pittsburgh, has been uncovered that these babies that they abort in order to harvest organs, well, now they're not killing the babies first. The babies are being birthed and kept alive in order to harvest the organs. Now, is that barbaric? Okay. I mean, is that worse than gas prices? Yes, is it not? So I ask this. This is my question to the church. What business did the church have putting people in power to do that? What business did the man of God have standing behind the pulpit, prayed open his mouth up, say, listen, they're murdering babies, their platform is to murder babies, that God has a purpose for every life, and the church put him in power? Think of that. That has to change, right? Amen. And it will change. We need to stand. And I mean, we have voices. We need to speak out. We need to talk. We need to select. As an age that we're in, we need to, I say it all the time, and I'll keep doing it until the next election. Start checking your candidates out for those who stand for biblical principles and get behind them. Follow them. Support them verbally and financially. We got a fight on our hands, but we can turn this around. But that's how barbaric. And I can't tell you how many people and preachers behind the pulpit I heard support the party, the platform of the Democratic Party for aborting babies and same-sex marriages. In the eyes of God, that's wrong. Look what's taking place. That's why we're in the fight that we're in. That's why we're where we're at today. That's why he's calling each one of us to clean your house out. Get rid of the cobwebs. We got a fierce battle going on. A spiritual battle, and we're going to win this thing if we were tuck ourselves in and pray and intercede and be voiced and bring that out. We cannot sit back and let this take place. Treacherous. Which means be faithless, unfaithful, backstabbing, not dependable, rebellious, not being faithful or dependable. We gotta watch that. Not being faithful to His Word, not being faithful to Jesus, independable. Can people depend on you? If they tell you they're going to do something, do you do it? Or, nah. And that's the thing that sneaks into the church. Amen? We got to watch out. All these signs, reckless. I mean, without thinking, careless, not caring about the consequences of an action. It's like reckless driving. Boy, they drive crazy. They don't care the consequences. Speeding down the highway. Oh, that's all right. Cops will give you 7 miles an hour over. And, what's that? You had your license 3 days. You're passing the WL line. But see that. I mean, reckless driving. If you go, the speed limit is there for one reason, because that's what the best speed to handle the roads. And I know too many folks. Well, cops give you 5 miles an hour, 7 miles an hour over, but another, he gave me a ticket. How fast are you going? Well, 7 miles an hour over. And you're mad at the cop? And then what you're doing, you're teaching other people behind you that don't worry about the law, long as you don't get caught. But being reckless, anything you do. Sometimes you get mad and you do something. Oh, I shouldn't do this, I'm going to do it anyway. And that's it, taking place. I'm not giving a driver's ed thing, okay? But daredevil is another one. Rolling the dice. or being conceited. Vain, it means to be cocky, self-centered, excessively proud of yourself. These are the signs of the last days, and folks, we can see these today, that we are at the time of the coming of the Lord. It's going to be coming very, very soon. We see that. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, I was talking to one of our mayors a while back, several years ago, and he actually had that comment to me. He had got caught speeding. And he was upset because he was only going 7 miles an hour over the speed limit. And the state patrol gave him a ticket, and he wanted me to complain with him. I said, well, they told you up front what it is, and you're the mayor. You should know better, you know. And he didn't like the response, you know, but I mean, how can you blame him? That's what the law is. And it doesn't mean if you get a speeding ticket today, guys, you're going to hell, okay? We're just saying that it's being reckless. I just use that as... But everyone's watching you. Mm. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy," praise God for mercy, "because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. For we are all his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So all these things that we looked at would be taking place in the last days, we all came out of that mess somewhere. Amen? That was us before Jesus, okay? And so what we got to watch ourselves now is that we don't step back into that, okay? It's a barometer to watch, okay? We are saved by grace. We are saved by faith in Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. He died for my sins. I have sinned. I received him. I am following him. But I can start falling back into that pattern if I'm not careful. And that is brought into the church. Now, it weakens down the church because, again, if we go back to what we said earlier, when those are coming that we've been interceding for and praying for, when they start coming into the church and they're looking for the truth, looking for the light, okay, they need to find Jesus solid in each one of us to share his love and his grace and his mercy. And we got to make sure that we're not entertaining this stuff, because this stuff here also turn people away. Arrogancy, all by yourself, rude, boastful, that kind of stuff. See, I never want you to forget that your salvation is based upon not what you have done, but what Christ did for us. It's a free gift. We can't work our way. We can't have a list of laws and I check them off. But our heart is that we've been delivered from that so much, that we are so much in the love of Christ, that we want nothing to do with the old ways. You know, if you've ever been wrapped up in alcohol, we should hate alcohol today so much because you've been delivered from that. You want nothing to do with it. It destroyed your family, okay? Or drugs, you know? If you was involved in drugs at one time and you've been delivered from it, we shouldn't even want to entertain that, okay? You're ever addicted to pornography, okay? You should never even want a channel on your TV set, whether it's free or not, for 30 days or whatever you get it for. Never want to even come in your house because it can destroy you. See what I'm saying there? We got to watch out for this. Otherwise, we get arrogant and say, okay, I said a prayer and I'm going to heaven, but I'm going to go ahead and continue to do this. And our heart's desire should be, I don't want to do this. Sins that you're struggling with, it might be, but you get set free from it. Confess your sins. Confess your sins to one another. Find a prayer partner. Man, I'm struggling with this thing here. I need prayer. I need help. Okay, well, see, you're addicted to this. Get it out of the house. Well, man, I want to get it out of the house. I had it for a few years. Oh, okay. Rock and roll music? Eh. You've been told it was of the devil. It is from the devil. Amen? We talk about Janis Joplin, Jimmy Morris, all these guys used to pick pretty good. Folks, they're in hell. I mean, like I said earlier, those who call upon the name of the Lord. But look at their life. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and you're no different. He wants to get a hold of you. He wants to get back a hold of us, okay? But this shows that we are in the, what he calls the last days of the church. That soon the comfort is going to be taken out of here. We're going to be removed. And so we, as never before, it's like you got 3 weeks to go in the military, and you're going to be out. Okay, but you got 3 weeks to go. You're not out yet. So you buckle down, do one more thing, because you want to make it, you want to protect them, you want to make it better for those who come behind you. That's how we live our life, okay? We're still here, so I want to continue to sacrifice my life for the Lord to get things for the other people who can have it better, for our kids, our grandkids.